Good afternoon. We have made it to our final presentation of the day. Big thank you again for that break from Chromescape. One of my favorite ways to conclude the conference that I've enjoyed every year is when we have a panel from our industry available to share experiences that they've gone through with all of our members. So something that's come up just in phone conversations over the past year, when I'm talking to suppliers I work with, customers, other companies within the industry, is the topic of ERP systems. It seems like many of our members have either recently upgraded their ERP system, thinking about upgrading their ERP system, or need to upgrade their ERP system, and really do not know where to start. So it was very, very easy to find three panelists to share their experiences with our group. So to kick it off, I would like to just have each of our panelists introduce themselves, share their role within their company, what their current system is that they're using, and how long they've been using that system.
Hello, everybody. My name is Cody Tilburg. I'm with Garrick. This is my actual first time here at the Mulch and Soil Council, so this has been a very good experience, and Jessica somehow roped me in my first time to do a panel, so thank you for that. So I've been with the company for 11 years. We are currently using NetSuite, which is a product of Oracle, and we've gone live just 1 year from last Friday, so it's pretty fresh. So,
TJ Cleveland, I'm the CFO at Austin Recycling. I've been at AWR for 4 years now, and we've been using Enforce Sightline for exactly 4 years. We went live about a week after I started, so I have definitely lived the ERP experience.
My name is Irene Ramos. I'm with Kellogg Garden Products. I'm the National Retail Business Manager, where I oversee our strategic partners, amongst other titles. Jessica kind of twisted my arm to be here. She said it was easy. Wasn't. We have been on Infor for the past 5 years. So right after, right before TJ here.
What was the name of the software?
Infor. So yeah. We have two Infor and one NetSuite.
You'll hear Infor, Sightline, and CSI are the three terms you'll hear for what we use.
Yeah. So our leading question for our panelists, what was your previous system and what led your company to decide on a change?
So our previous system was a customized system. probably from the late 90s, early 2000s. It was a legacy workhorse, which was great because you get 15 years to customize it to be exactly the way you want, which kind of in the future questions I'll talk about is, you know, part of the change that's a little bit difficult. Part of the reason that we eventually were forced to change is the person that created it was retired for a long time, and then we were consulting with this person, and eventually they just would rather sit on a beach in Florida than take phone calls for us because something was broken out of Friday. In addition to that, it was a remote server that stopped being supported by Microsoft, so it started to become a cybersecurity issue, whereas everything else nowadays is mostly cloud-based. And then also the last thing was, I believe it was Menards, but a lot of just the EDI trading partners started having new requirements that just weren't going to be capable with our current system. So that's why we had decided to pull the trigger.
I think our story is pretty similar, a little different, but we were on QuickBooks. Probably like a lot of mom and pops that start up and then kind of balloon. I think our QuickBooks consultant that we worked with told us that we were one of the largest companies when it came to data, shared data that we had in QuickBooks. So we had significantly outgrown it. And to your point, you know, it really was more of an accounting software that we were trying to use for a much larger business. And we had probably outgrown QuickBooks 5 years prior to our change. So we were really looking for more of an operating system as opposed to just an accounting system.
Our previous system was Sage. The reason why we switched over was because it was going on the sunset list. It was no longer going to be supported. So they weren't going to do any updates. They weren't going to provide any, modern things going on. So we decided that we had to, no choice, have to change our ERP system.
Let's see if I can take
I was thinking about that same thing, too.
And all inquiring minds want to know, how long did it take from the decision to implement or change your system to the actual go-live date?
I think my answer is a little bit broader, but from what I heard, it was probably 10 years prior that we wanted to do the switch. We really started looking into systems around 2019 as we got closer. COVID happened, of course, and kind of just put everything on hold for everybody. It was a good excuse to kind of push it off a little bit further because things were still working. So we made the decision at the end of 22 that we were going to go live the following year. So we had our first sit down in January, and then we were live about 10, 11 months later, which is a pretty aggressive schedule. Depends on the company, the amount of people, the industry. But from what I've heard, some people can be 10, 12 months. Some people can be 2 years. So,
yeah, we actually have you beat. We got selected it and went live in 6 months. That was way too fast. I had Awesome Recycling was one of my clients before I joined AWR, and I told the owner that they once we had acquired a company at DFW that needed an ERP system, and if anybody knows Mike Martin, he's an impatient person. So I spoke to him a couple months later. He said, "Yeah, we've already selected our go. We've already set our go live date." So typically, I would expect it to be more often than not a 2 year process. So we did it in 6 months, unfortunately.
I think everybody thinks of changing to an ERP system long in advance. It's actually deciding when you're going to do it. It took us many, many years because, again, Mass 500 Sage is very old, and looking at a green screen with gray background, it was kind of like, when are we going to get out of the golden ages? Like, this is aged. So we thought about it for many years, but it actually took us from the time that we decided, okay, we are going to use this company, this is where we're starting, and our go-live date was actually 3 years later. We put a lot of thought and emphasis into making sure that the team was involved in the plan, timelines, working with our subsidiaries to, our other sister companies to make sure that they were functioning and on the same page as well. So it took us an actual total 3 years.
And what were the main factors considered when selecting an ERP system?
The three that came to mind for me, the first one, of course, was pricing. I think that's what everybody kind of looks at when they're between pricing and functionality, but it was what was the price going to be, and then also the pricing structure. There was kind of like the annual-based setup. There was a user-based cost where depending on how many people, you had X price per user. And then there was like a transaction list where you are charged based on how many transactions happen in a fiscal year. I know some systems do it that way. We didn't go that route. Just from an annual prediction of you want to be able to know what your costs were going to be, you know, for the fiscal year without being more transaction and variable based. The second one I would say was going to be long-term reliability. So there's, if you Google ERP systems for manufacturing, you get a big broad list. Some companies you've heard of, some you haven't. Unfortunately, some of the guys that you don't have, they got to really build your trust. And I'm sure a lot of those are really great, but we were looking at, you know, the Oracles, the NetSuites, the Microsoft, the people that, you know, in 15, 20 years, you assume they're still going to be here. And then kind of coupled with that is, are these companies investing in their software? Are they going to change with the trends? Are they going to update their products to look better? They're not just going to find something that's really complacent and then just kind of stick with that until too many people get sick of it and then they go to the new iteration or the new company. I'll talk more about that in a little bit.
I won't regurgitate. I think our thought process and what we used to evaluate the different systems was pretty similar. I think the one thing I would say is just understanding it. The wider your company is, the less perfect any system's going to be. So you just have to find what's going to fit, and then is there an add-on or another software that may pair with that. So the only other addition would be, just think about what you know, how many APIs or you know, effectively connectivity to other systems that you may are legacy systems you have, or hey, look, they don't do something one part of the business. You really, for example, we have project-based business, we have manufacturing, and then we also have logistics and distribution, and you know, no system really worked perfectly for all those. So we really kind of chose which two were most important to us, and then what additional system could we then tailor to fit in with the ERP system. So that connectivity of other systems is really important.
Absolutely. Everything that he just said, and also Cody with costing. But one of the things too was for us is, to get on the cloud, right? So we wanted, to make sure that we weren't dependent on servers anymore. We wanted to consolidate, all of our sources to make sure that they were available to us. And, you know, the cloud is so easily accessed for us. And then licenses, you know, that saves a lot of money. With Sage, we were paying per person. So it saved us a lot.
The one last thing I'll just mention, because I forgot, is all these are software as a service, and they will be happy to sell you any of the software for an additional cost. So just keep that in mind.
Who was responsible for leading the ERP conversion within your organization, and did your team employ an independent consultant?
So we created what we called the migration team. We picked out, it evolved as the project went on, but we picked out a couple people that were key from each department. So you had the right minds at the table. You had people that were going to be committed that you know you could rely on and not kind of fall down as the process went on. And then as we got through the other phases and the testing, we started bringing on more people, and getting into this cadence with, again, I think it was during one of the other presentations today, you kind of don't know, like, oh, I didn't think about this because I'm not in accounting. So just making sure you have the right people on the team is something we did. We did use a third-party consultant. They came in for 3 days. They sat down. They listened to us go over our business, did their best to understand how that would coordinate with NetSuite, and then, you know, they kind of took that, sat on it, gave us a long summary of things they thought would work and wouldn't work, and kind of you just signed off on that process. I will say, and I know we talked about this yesterday, so I'm sure you'll probably mention it at some point as well, careful with customization. It's really easy to want to make something just perfect for exactly what you want, or if you're coming from a legacy system, you want it to look exactly the same as it was. Not only does that get more expensive, but when you have problems or you need somebody to come in and try to solve or troubleshoot, if you have in-house people, it might be a little bit different, but if you're having your ERP provider or a consultant come in, they're going to start at the base product and then have to figure out what you've customized to see where they actually need to dig in for your problem. I think it was from Dave today. He said, you know, simplify then automate. And that goes with the customization process as well. And I thought that really stuck. So.
Yeah, our project team is led by our accounting manager, which, as you mentioned, I think it's really important to have different viewpoints throughout the organization. I think we were led too much by accounting administration and not enough from the operations team. So you had a lot of unintended consequences with that, that you don't think about. And again, when you're going live in 6 months, those unintended consequences can really compound, especially, post go live. We did have a third party. We over customized. We've since pulled back on those. I think sometimes you have certain legacy processes that it's always been done this way for the last 2 years. I mean, the last 20 years. And when a system doesn't really work with that, I would encourage anybody going through an ERP implementation is to take a step back and think about why would this system be designed this way? Maybe our process is not up to date with where we need to be. Because change is hard. Even good change is a bad thing at the beginning. So, just be thinking about that. But we used a third party, and with customizations, they were super eager to customize because they could charge us more money when they incur the hours to do so. So just, and that cost us add up.
We did something similar to what Cody was saying. We called it the core team. So we did have a core team of members from each department, operations, our transportation, our order entry, everybody who had main input or worked in the system on a daily basis, they were the core team members, and they were dedicated to join meetings. Every week we were in meetings, but it was to go over the process to make sure that when you're in the management, sometimes you don't know that somebody in inventory is working or using something very similar to somebody over in the order entry department. So when you have these meetings, you can have the same form instead of doing multi-customizations when you're finding the same pinpoints that other people are using to make one form or something similar to that. So our core team members were, again, weekly on top of it, meeting daily. We did have a third party. It was an implementation partner that we used. All of our IT directors, again, they were all involved in this. We even had our, marketing managers, our VPs. Everybody was involved in the communication and process.
Oftentimes, the complexity of implementation is impacted by the number of employees, the number of sites you have, and various other factors. If you could just share a little bit about your organization, how many employees were impacted by the ERP implementation, if it was a single site, multiple sites, and if you kind of implemented or rolled this out in phases or just all at once.
Sure. I'm making the assumption that a lot of us here, the majority of our employees are probably in the manufacturing field, so driving equipment, working on a bag line. They might not be logging into a computer system every single day. At least that was our case. So we have multiple sites. We work with co-packers that we would have log into our websites as well to print shipping paperwork, mark loads as leaving the facility so you know that your orders are going on time. I think all in all, it was probably about 25 people on a day-to-day basis that would be directly impacted by it. So, out of over 100 employees, you got, less than a quarter of that being impacted. I would say that we did an all-at-once strategy, whereas on September 29th, whatever that Friday was, we shut down the old system. They uploaded everything over the weekend, and then come Monday morning, you're in the new system. Definitely a fun little scary weekend. We did phase the data migration and the training to where we're a seasonal company. You don't want to really be going live probably on, March 31st, right before you really get in the stride of the busy season. So we started in January, did some of the migration. We took a break from April to about the 4th of July, and then the summer and the fall, you really kind of hit it hard to give yourself, if something goes wrong in October, usually the worst case is maybe some production doesn't get entered, inventory's a little bit off, but you're not missing shipments or missing customer sales. So it's really important just to think of, depending on how long the process is going to take, the timing of what you think is going to make sense for you.
Yeah, I would agree on the timing. We did ours in, I think, in September. We felt it was kind of right before we really started some of the pre-pack. At the time of implementation, we had maybe 220 employees, maybe 25% of those were impacted by go-live, but we went in phases because we came from QuickBooks. We really just transitioned all of our accounting, billing, PO process, purchasing in phase one. Then phase two, we did more of our labor management and inventory management. And then phase three, the more complex pieces of job costing, production and manufacturing costing, forecasting, planning, the things that were probably much more intricate and webbed throughout our entire organization weren't until we really had learned the system and knew what we were doing.
We had about 75 employees that were affected. We have 30 strategic partners, and then we have two subsidiaries. So we definitely had a lot of people who were going to be impacted by our change. We did do it in three phases, though. But phase one was there was a cutoff to our previous system on a Friday. Definitely want to do it in the slow season, not in your busiest season. And then that Monday, we went up and go live. In phase one, our main goals were to run everything, right? You've got purchase orders, shipping, inventory. Make sure that you're actually able to function and make your money by shipping products. Phase two was more reporting data, and then phase three was a cleanup. All three phases took over about maybe a year to a year and a half. We still look at things that we need to correct, change, add what we don't need. Permissions is a big one. We had to make sure that, certain strategic partners, all of our strategic partners or some subsidiaries or, the permissions that one person uses doesn't have access to other things. So making sure that you have all of your customizations ready to go, but three phases for Kellogg.
What are some of the key lessons learned and challenges encountered throughout the process?
I guess I can picture it pretty clearly in my mind versus if I was sitting out there and you're talking about new systems and how things function. So one of my recommendations would be is to bring in, when they ask for sample data to start the process and do the testing, bring in as much as you possibly can. We thought we brought in enough. We probably should have brought in more. And part of it was just, we had data living in three different databases, and then you had to find somebody that was an Excel guru to, combine them all together and get everything there. It wasn't just a click a button, give it to the third-party consultants, and then they're all happy with you. So definitely bring in good data. When you get to the training portion of it, if you're trying to just ship an order, but then you don't have enough pallets, but then you go to build the production, but then you don't have enough raw material or feedstock, it turns into trying to get used to the system to having to go backwards five steps, which it's good experience when you've been there for a couple weeks or a month, but when you're on day one, it's very tricky to kind of go through that process. The other thing would be similar to what Irene said with the core team. We did it probably a little bit late, but definitely blocking out time for your team that you're not focused on calls or service or orders. You're just going through the steps because otherwise, you can kind of work in the business a little bit too much and things get cloudy. And the next thing you know, you're getting close to go live or you didn't do enough testing or something gets missed. So definitely securing separate time as a group is very helpful.
Yeah. I mean, I could probably list out 100 things that we learned through the process. But piloting's super important. You just don't know what you don't know. So it's better off trying it out in a safe environment. Then go live and you're trying to fulfill customer orders and you can't actually quote unquote ship the product out of the system and send out the invoice, order the parts that you need. But really, the biggest thing for me is just change management, is having buy-in from the people and leadership and then the team members within it. I think we should have given that a lot more emphasis on the front end, because you can design and implement a great system. But if you don't get buy-in from the team members to really follow some of those processes, you utilize the tools. If they don't know how to use those tools, you're going to fail. I don't care how much time you spent 10 years developing it and building the perfect system. If you really don't manage the change, process within your team, you're set up for failure from day one.
Yeah, I totally agree with all of that. I think one of our challenges was documenting processes. We definitely talked and talked and talked in all of these meetings, but documenting the process along the way, so when we went live or talked about it 6 or 8 months later or a year later, having those at hand would definitely make sure that what we were talking about during the implementation was actually flowing the way that we were talking about it for all the departments, not just the way that one person saw it or that, okay, it's working for the financials, but maybe it's not working for the operations. So we definitely would have wanted to make sure that those processes and gaps were closed.
TJ, Cody, and Irene all kind of kicked off this next question, and it seems like a reoccurring theme of today's conference about managing change within your organization. And how did you manage that change to ensure a smooth ERP transition?
Yeah, like you said, I think we covered some of it in broad ways. Communication is definitely key. Again, the groups, the teams, logs to make sure, especially change logs, if you're making changes and you want to go backwards, knowing what you need to do. I don't know if there's really a silver bullet for a smooth ERP transition, but you can definitely make it as best as possible with the committed people and if you have, like, the buy-in, like you were saying.
Yeah, I think, what I would say is we didn't manage the change process very well, so I can only tell you what we learned. And to me, it's about the communication, clearly defining what the goals and objectives are, getting feedback as to what our goals and objectives should be, where the pain points are, organization. Because the idea of an ERP system or implementing a new ERP system is you're trying to get better, trying to work smarter rather than harder. I'm sure, as we all are growing our business, trying to scale that business and manage your costs. But clearly defining the goals, responsibilities, who has ownership, but training, giving the resources, and then more training. And then when you've done that, more training. Because if you nothing spreads faster than like a cancer of frustration of a new system, and it just kind of compounds on itself. And so oftentimes that's generally not because the system's bad, it's because you haven't trained the people how to use it. And then that's where, it just kind of snowballs.
Absolutely. The training is really, really big, especially when you have to train multiple people. Make sure you're training in the same way, using the same guides, providing the information, whether it's screenshots, whether it's, simplicity down to the T on the training guides. If someone leaves and someone comes on, that you can provide that training guide and make sure that they're trained the same way and properly using the same guides. So training guides are very important. That was really big for us. And to be positive about the change. When you're positive, your employees get positive. A lot of, I think you mentioned it earlier, we call them historic, right? Like the people who've been with our company for 20, 25 years, who've used the same, system for so long, they don't want change. They don't want to do change. But if you're positive and you show them the stuff that they want or that they're going to use or it's going to help them make life easier, then they tend to go towards that. So we always are positive with our change, making sure that the employees understand and know, hey, this is going to help us in this way. We also, just to go back a little bit, when we came up with our core team, we actually sent it out to all of our employees is a list. Tell us what is it that you absolutely need, what you want, and your wish list, right? Like, what is something that's going to make your life easier? And we put them all together on a whole spreadsheet, and you can see that a lot of people ask for the same things that we didn't have. So those were the things that we looked forward to actually making our system as well when we were doing customizations. Because if we could pay for a customization, that's actually going to help our employees be more productive to enter in something, then that's something that we were positive in return to say, look what we did. We listened, we heard you, and now look what the system's going to do for you, especially on your wish list. So being positive and communicating and involving them. So go to your team, show them what you've done, show them, hey, this is what we're working on. Look at what we have. Like, what do you think? I have this meeting tomorrow. Don't exclude them. Keep them involved and let them know what you're doing. Like, I'm not just sitting here with the door closed. I want you to know, we're doing this for you, for our company, for everybody. What can we do to help you? So keep them involved.
Yeah, I think that involvement helps to create that buy-in. But then also getting the feedback as to what their motivations are, where their pain points are, because you can paint that positive picture as, you kind of come out on the other side of it, and it motivates the team to really want to get involved, learn the system, so they can realize, whatever's on the other side of that, again, that kind of picture that you've painted.
100%.
And now time for some positivity. After you get through a bulk of the hard work, what are some of the most significant benefits you've seen your organization achieve by implementing a new ERP?
Kind of like Irene said earlier, cloud-based. I can get on my cell phone, and I know most airports have Wi-Fi. You can take your laptop or whatnot, but being able to just get on my phone in the back of an Uber, log into the system, handle something that needs to be handled, With our servers off-site, we had to log into a remote firewall, type in your password, do 5 different verifications through 4 different devices, and then hope you get in because the connection doesn't time out. Whereas now everything's right at your fingertips. In addition to that is just the instant data. So you can just go look at your KPIs, you can look at your dashboard, you can look at sales up to the minute. You don't have to wait to the next day or the end of the week or your accounting department to send you something at the end of the month for like an ops report review. Granted, you know, depending on the permission levels and the restrictions of what you want your people to see, it is all readily available. You can drill down into transactions. So if you see something on a report that says $5,000 on a Volvo loader, instead of emailing the plant, having them go find it, the invoice in the filing cabinet, email you back, hope it makes sense, hope the description's there. You can just click on it. You can see the vendor. You can see the description. The file's attached into the system. So, I mean, we've improved our efficiencies to where we used to have to spend a day or two to close out a month because we had questions, and now you can do it in, you know, 30 minutes or sit in a room and get it done in 10. So it's been very helpful. Things to come. So again, kind of that system that's going to improve as it goes. AI is a big one. A lot of systems are putting AI into it now. So that way, you know, you already have all your data and your financials in NetSuite or CSI or whatever it might be. So you don't have as much of the security threat, but you can tell it to write a report for you. I want to see customers that are 90 days past due and highlight them, and then please send them a Dunning letter. So, you know, what's coming down the pipeline, again, just improving how people function and freeing up time for the people to work on things they're really good at or things that they should be working on.
Yeah, I think, you know, just the level of automation and synergy you can create through a good ERP system, connectivity, visibility, and then, you know, it's really the planning and forecasting. So when we put in our sales forecast, you know, we can see exactly what material, you know, what product we need to have on the ground when, therefore what materials, what type of bags, pallets, stretch wrap, what have you that we're going to need and when we're going to need that, visibility into any kind of aging of our inventory. Obviously we're not, it's not a super perishable, product in mulch and soil, but, still managing that, understanding exactly how long, that product's been sitting, forecasting, you know, cash flow. I know in my position that's extremely helpful, that real-time visibility into what we're spending, what our cash inflow is, where we have the problems on our receivables, you know, how much we have outstanding with any one vendor or one supplier, if we, you know, potentially are hitting any kind of credit limit. And then really it's data capture. I mean, if you have a good ERP system, there's so much data you can get out that you can capture. I mean, We've learned, gosh, we wish we would have captured that information last year. So now really, if we can capture information, it's not a lot of extra work. That's what a good ERP system is so good about, is the data capture that you may not even know you need yet. And a year from now, you're going to wish you had it. So there's infinite possibilities when it comes to data, to analyzing the trends of your customers, where you're seeing an increase, you know, in black mulch versus brown mulch versus red mulch down to, you know, zip code or what have you. So, the reporting is functionality is what's so great.
He read all my notes because that's what I was going to say, all of that. Yeah, definitely everything. And also the APIs, you know, all of our things that we were able to do outside of that, cloud-based, exactly. And we're not dependent on the ERP. So they're doing the updates. It's keeping it modern and cost moving to standard costing system. So definitely, yeah, all of that.
And our final question for our ERP panelists. Hindsight is 2020. So reflecting on the experience, what are one or two things you wish you had known back then that you know now?
That list could probably go on, but I'll just name one. I would say the consultants don't know everything. I mean, I don't blame them because they go into a business in any industry and you explain to them in 2 or 3 days what you do as a company. They go back to their computer and they try to make that work in their systems. So having a good consulting firm that communicates well with you, I know in my experience, Reddit has been the best source of any answer for anything you need to find. They'll either have the script or the HTML or JavaScript code. It'll have links to certain articles. Almost everything I've asked has been asked by somebody prior. And usually the first comment is, boy, your consulting firm really should have talked to you about this. It's definitely frustrating when you read that, but at the same time, you know, there's only so much you can do. You don't know what you don't know. You kind of just have to work through the process. So just expecting a little bit of legwork, but, you know, it forces you to be better if you feel invested with the system. I took my last accounting class in 2006 when I was at Kent State, and now I know everything about general ledger and income statement. I built our income statement in the new system, cash flow. I don't prefer accounting. I more prefer the operations side of things, but just getting involved in every aspect of the business, you know, having people come to you, hey, can you help me find this report or do this search? It's okay to ask stupid questions to the consultants and don't expect them to know everything. You're still going to have to kind of figure it out as you go.
Yeah, I would agree with your point on the consultants that, you know, we are, I think, a unique business in some ways. So, you know, I think that understanding that there's not a dumb question and there's, you know, there's a lot of information that you need to be sharing with your consultant. Don't just let them kind of drive the process. But I would say, you know, getting everybody on the bus, all relevant stakeholders on the front end as early as possible, so that you're not creating the unintended consequences by not asking the right person the right question. And then, again, training and training and more training.
Yeah, two things for us is cost and customizations. The customizations are always add-ons, and more add-ons, and then they cost. So definitely be careful with those and try to get some of those document processes beforehand, before going into the actual, okay, this is where we are and what we're doing. Talk to your team ahead of time so you have the answers when you're in these meetings to go through, you know, this is what we're doing, this is how we do it. Is your other team members doing it the same way? Are they doing something differently? Because we would sit in meetings and say, oh, well, I do it this way. And then we started learning what our team was actually doing. So actually having the processes and talking with your team ahead of time will save time in the meetings to actually start your implementation.
And now we will open it up to any questions from the floor.
Can you talk about integration with your shipping, receiving, if you even have it?
So we, our old system, and we had slight customization, and then we built more scripts and workflows into this system. We don't integrate with like a TMS. We had our own custom built one that was part of it last time, and now we just took the out of the box program. They added a couple extra fields that we could source and link to basically act as a TMS platform, because, you know, it's usually one pick, one drop. Maybe this time of year you're getting some split loads, it's bulk deliveries. We're not really doing UPS, FedEx. You know, maybe a little LTL here and there to where we didn't need the TMS, at least to this point. Maybe that changes down the road, and I know there's plenty of APIs and plenty of people out there that are happy to integrate with some of the definitely the higher, more popular named systems. I don't know if you guys have any.
Yeah, I mean, we just focused on the API and didn't do too much within the system.
Same here. APIs, we have APIs.
Yeah.
So you two use them.
Any other questions?
So hindsight 2020. Any regrets that you probably would have thought of going with a different system because of all the customization you had to do in the end and didn't realize?
You guys have more regrets?
Yeah, we actually core team members met with a couple different ERP system people who came out. We actually saw what they had to offer. I think that for us, if we would have been a little more communicative in what we really needed and what we were looking for, and not just specifically like this is for costing and it's going to be better there, I think that maybe we would have gone with another system if we would have saw more in detail. But I think we were okay with Infor. And again, with the customizations, if we would have known ahead of time what we needed, we wouldn't have had to make so many customizations.
Yeah, I think maybe had we on the front end evaluated our processes more, we probably, again, wouldn't have customized as much. I think M4 Sightline, specifically, the user interface is not the best of all the ERP systems, in my opinion. But it is an extremely robust platform. So if you are a very complex business, it can be a great system. But it there's this pretty significant learning curve in comparison to like a NetSuite or an SAP or, and so it's just, I think 4 years on now, I don't think that we necessarily would have chosen a different platform. Probably had 18 months ago, 2 years ago, I probably would have told you that I wish we would have chosen a different platform.
Do any of you have a report writer or you just rely on the current software to generate your reports?
No, we rely on ours. We do use some Excel formats still, just to feel more comfortable that the system is actually converting our data. But we are relying on we're trying to get more reliable on the actual Infor system to calculate our data.
I would say we've utilized a lot more Microsoft reporting, some Power BI. So, we've engaged more consultants for some of the reporting. I think, the ERP system is fantastic with data capture. I don't think that out of the box, the reporting functionality is where we would like it to see. You know, so.
They're $5 off.
Yeah. So it's, again, data capture is fantastic. Yeah. Then we've chosen to go other routes, for the reporting functions.
Yeah, I would say with us, I mean, I don't think anything out of the box is going to be probably what anybody's looking for. I mean, it might be a small change. It might be a little bit more major change. I've, again, had to go in, use AI, type in, I need a NetSuite report that shows this, 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 and go through it, and it spits it out. So it might need a little bit of tweaking, but even some of the more advanced stuff nowadays is possible. But I would say out of the box, don't expect to see exactly probably what you want. But I don't think you need to go necessarily to a third party.
Do you feel like it created enough efficiencies to pay for itself and the ROI there, or do you think it's just a healthy process?
For me, I would say both. I would say 1 year return on investment is probably a little tough to capture just because you're in so much of a learning phase. I think the steps that we've made in the last 10 months have been pretty substantial considering, you know, again, 3 to 4 months of that was just getting through the busy season. And then now we're in the point where we can really tweak and make things better and more efficient. You know, it definitely feels more scalable to where if I bring on 5 times business, I don't need to hire 5 more people. You know, you can kind of take those automations, those processes and move them across the company.
Yeah, for us, I mean, I think the ROI is warranted the spend. But to your point, for me, it's more about the scalability on the back end than it really is the immediate cost savings. So that would be my only, you know, if you're in a, you know, a very mature business and, or you don't anticipate a lot of growth, you know, I don't know if you would have that level of ROI that you'd be looking for, depending upon, again, what system and how much you invest in it. But when I think about the scalability, now we have a, you know, if we double in size, there's not a lot of people we have to really add because a lot of the processes are automated at this point.
No. Everything.
So, Argo Light needs some of the reports. We've got up here really quick.
Oh, yeah.
What's your thoughts on access to the legacy system? Are you cutting cold turkey or giving them a little bit of time to spend? You can't add data.
Yeah, for us, we're cutting cold turkey. Remove that. The more you give one person that little bit of hope to stay in the past, they're going to keep at you. Well, we need to add this because I don't see it here. I don't do it the way that I'm used to doing it. We've had a lot of people like that in our team, especially in the sales and the operations, where we said no. This is the way that we're doing it now, making sure everyone is leveled together and moving together, staying together.
I would agree with that point. I think, you know, just having to be mindful of the fact that we still have to do our business, you know, operationally or sales or whatnot. So we created channels for that communication when you needed information from the legacy system, but didn't give access to it. And then it helps us to identify where we had our pain points, where either maybe we needed to modify the system or a process, or more often than not, it was just a given, give more resources, give more support, give more training to that team, you know, to get them over. Cause I would agree that whoever might be trying to get in the legacy system is going to use that as crutch as long as you let it.
So we continued it on for one more year. If you were to ask Gary, he'd probably slap everybody. But we did keep it out of fear of, hey, quotes didn't come over. What if this customer needs pricing and it didn't go into the new system or whatever? And then you go and ask them, it's like, how often do you really use it? Well, I went in 6 weeks ago. Is that the first time this year? Yeah, but I just wanted to make sure. So you can make an argument for both ways, but cutting cold turkey, removing the crutches, making people adapt and use the new technology is the best way, probably.
Yeah, I would say on the cold turkey part is like for everyone's access, but you do have a couple core team members, like maybe in finance, who have access to that previous system to confirm, like, you know, hey, does the pricing match? Is everything working properly? You know, you're technically still in a testing mode when you go over, but you still don't want a lot of people accessing. You want everybody to be working together on the new system and have IT or accounting. Hey, I'm not seeing this. Did they really have this purchase order in the previous system? If it's not, then let's get it in.
Yeah, I don't want there to be any confusion because you got to take it. Yeah, it's more cutting off the access, but you got to think about statute of limitations from a tax or a risk management perspective. You got to make sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's more questions than I expected, so thank you.
Well, a big thank you to our ERP panelists this afternoon. That is the conclusion of our presentations. We are going to be meeting in the Stenton Room for our Honky Tonk Happy Hour at 4:30. That is going to be sponsored by Viably. Big thank you to Viably and to all of our sponsors today and all of our speakers. This would not be possible without them. So thank you so much. It's been a great day.
One last item. Tremendous program. Big thank you to Jessica. Time for honky tonk.